This episode is for anyone who loves to read books or people who want to love reading books. Because in this very special episode of the This Teacher Life podcast, I am talking about the three best books that I read this calendar year. And I think some of the books on the list could surprise you. If you love reading and you're curious what these are, definitely stick around. Or maybe you are finding yourself not liking reading. Maybe this is something that you want to enjoy more, but you feel like you're never picking up the right books. Well, Oprah has a book club, Reese Witherspoon has a book club, and maybe after listening to this episode, you will be inspired to pick up one of the books that I read during this year that made the top three best. And I want to tell you in advance, as teachers, none of the books that I am about to talk about have anything to do with teaching. And I actually do that on purpose. I intentionally don't read teacher books because I'm a firm believer that there are things within almost every single book that can help us, yes, on a personal level, but also on a professional level. So if you are curious what the three best books that I read this year are, and you want to add them to your book list, or hell, start a book list, because maybe it's a goal for you to start reading this year, you're in the right spot. Let's get into it. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. Important confession. When I was a kid, and even an early aged adult, I hated reading so much. But I found the reason that I hated reading is because I was never finding the books that I needed and wanted in my life at the right time. But now about, gosh, hard to believe, 10 years ago, I challenged myself to set a goal to read a book every single month for the entire year, for a total of 12 books. And since I set that goal, I have accomplished it. And the reason why I'm actually telling you that interesting fact about goal setting is a book that I read this year. It's not in the top three, but it is an honorable mention. The book had a very interesting statistic about goal setting. The book was called Lean Learning by Pat Flynn. And in the book, he did an investigation, a study on goal setting, and 88% of people who set big goals never achieve them. And I think now is the perfect opportunity to throw that statistic out as we are ending a year and beginning a new year. 88% of people who set big goals never achieve them. And so he talked about in this book, Lean Learning, that we need to be the 12%. The 12% of people who say, oh my gosh, I need to actually do what I say I'm going to do, and here's how I'm going to do it. And spoiler alert, at the end of this episode, I'm going to actually talk a little bit more about that. I want to share something to help you actually do that. So do not miss the end of this episode, okay? So here we are, and I just checked the data on this. I just completed my 11th year of reading 12 books per year. And I like to do a year-end review of those books to determine, okay, which one were the best from my vantage point? Which ones had the most memorable moments or the thing that gave me momentum after I was done closing the book? And this first one is probably not going to shock you. This book absolutely blew up at the beginning of the year, and it's The Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins. This is for sure not her first book, but for whatever reason, this book resonated with people and really put her on the map and became a New York Times bestseller very, very quickly. And fun fact, not a flex, but just a fun fact, I actually worked with Mel Robbins 7 or 8 years ago. We shared the stage together. And I knew that something big was to come. She's a very captivating speaker. And this is probably an unpopular opinion, but her book, The Let Them Theory, is not my most favorite book that she has written. I actually struggled with my book choices in 2025. Every single book that I read was not what I thought it was going to be. I didn't have any books that were knocked out of the parks as a whole, but there were definitely nuggets in each book. And The Let Them Theory, if you haven't read it or haven't heard about it yet, I would say is a really good book about positive psychology if you have never read positive psychology before. I freaking love positive psychology, but I love depth. I love wrestling through hard topics with positive psychology. So I love books like Grit or The Growth Mindset, or The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. I love books like this. For me, The Let Them Theory, this is hard to admit, felt a little watered down from my perspective. It felt a little bit too simplistic. And I say that with a lot of love in my heart because I do like Mel Robbins and I do think that the book is really good. So if you're like, I'm very confused, why are you maybe not sharing much positivity about this book, but it landed on your list, I will tell you why, because there were so many good nuggets. And I want to share one of those with you. This is a quote from the book. Sometimes we have to move so our brain doesn't have time to talk ourselves out of it. And I loved that because I think oftentimes in life we get stuck and we become paralyzed by our own perceptions. And I love that Mel was talking about how action is often the answer. Small, consistent action changes everything. So when she said sometimes we have to move our brains so we don't have time to talk ourselves out of it, I was like, hell yeah, that's totally true. She often talks about in the book that the number one factor that determines we live a healthy life and a happy life is about relationships. And that resonated with me because as a human and as a teacher and as an SEL teacher at that, like I absolutely believe in the power of relationships. But she goes on to say that not everybody is worth your energy. So much time and energy is wasted on forcing other people to match our expectations, and hard stop on that. The last time that you got frustrated with somebody, is it because they did something bad or is it because they did not match your expectations on what was good? Holy shit, right? Like that is something that we really have to marinate on. And so the Let Them Theory, as Mel Robbins described it, is not about giving in or even giving up. She says it's about releasing the control that you never had in the first place and focusing on yourself because that is where the true power lies. And so there was a lot of really great things in the book. She talks a lot about how people can only meet you as deep as they have met themselves. And that kind of goes back to the relationships. I think we are craving deeper relationships with people, but they are often shallow, and we don't get to where we need to be as humans because we, on an individual level, need to deal with something. And she goes on to say, I want to read a direct quote that she talks about in direct correlation with this. It's not about the hand that you've been dealt. It's about how you play it. Other people teach you how to be a better player, and that's how you win. Winning the game of life requires you to focus on the cards that you have and choosing what to do with them. Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, wow. So I don't know. I do think that the book is worth reading, and you are getting now, from my vantage point, like the really important cliff notes. And you've probably seen Mel Robbins on podcasts and that kind of thing. But I want to talk just quickly about something that she says is the ABC loop. And it's an acronym. So as a teacher, I loved it because the ABCs feel like a very teachery thing. But the ABC loop is about apologizing, backing off, and celebrating. Okay, so A is apologize and ask open-ended questions. B, back off and then observe their behavior. And C, celebrate progress while continuing to model change. So this was like a really important part of the book when it came to communication and relationships and moving on and moving forward with people. I really liked that. And I also, again, as a teacher and as a social and emotional learning teacher, loved the concept that she talked about in the book about the 5-why method. And the 5-why method is when we dig in and ask why 5 times, we get to the actual root of the cause. So what that would play out and look like in conversation is maybe talking with the student. Why are you sad? I had a bad morning. Why did you have a bad morning? Because I woke up late. Why did you wake up late? Because I was tired from last night. Why were you tired from last night? Because I went to bed way too late because my parents were fighting. Okay, so we get to that root cause when we keep digging a little bit further and saying, why? Love that. The last thing that I want to say about the let them theory is at the end of the book, Mel talks a little bit about healing is a choice, avoidance is a habit. That's some deep shit, okay? I want to say that again because that does beg repeating. Healing is a choice, avoidance is a habit. Now that is way too simplistic. Right? And that's kind of what I'm talking about when it comes to positive psychology. I do believe in that statement. But then what I always am eager for is digging into that deeper. And I think that that is a personal journey. But if you've never read positive psychology before, or you've never heard of Mel Robbins and you want to dig in, the Let Them Theory honestly was a really good book. And I do see why it was an instantaneous New York Times bestseller. I can also see why people started making memes about it and mimicking it and devaluing it and being like, oh, that person stole $1 million from you? Let them. Like, it was easy to kind of, I don't know, make fun of to a certain extent. I'm not encouraging that. I'm not saying that I did, but what I am saying is when we take super, super, super complicated topics and then we don't really truly dig in and dive in on a deeper level, it does become easy to say, well, that's a bunch of horseshit. Okay. So maybe that book, well, it's great, and it is in the top 3 best books that I read this year. Maybe it does come with an asterisk of be willing to do personal work after reading, like each page. Okay? Whew! All right. We're going to switch gears in a very big direction. book number two that made best books of the year is actually one that I read, and I want to check. Yep, in April. I read this in April, and it is called Chase the Fun by Annie Downs. Fun fact, this is also not Annie Downs' first, second, third, or probably even fourth book. I think I have read everything that Annie Downs has ever written, and I will do an asterisk with this one as well. Annie Downs is not a positive psychologist or somebody who works in that space like Mel Robbins. Annie Downs does write from a Christian vantage point. And I know sometimes people love that, and I know sometimes people struggle with that, and I get both of those feelings. But Annie Downs is a good writer. She is a New York Times best-selling author as well. And Chase the Fun was really about, well, if I could summarize it in one word, it would probably be this. Most anything can be fun. It just depends on us. And I really liked that because I think that's true. Because I do think, as the title suggests, that we are all chasing fun and we don't want our days to be wasted. And the way that she breaks this book down, it's 100 different things. You could read this in 100 days. That's not what I did. I read it like it was a chapter book. But she kind of breaks down how we can have more fun in our lives. And I want to just give you some examples of things that resonated with me. Many of these are going to be direct quotes, and then I'm going to riff off of them. But one thing that she talks about is that wealth is the ability to fully experience life. And as a teacher who really tries to be aware of budget and money and what wealth means, I liked that take. Wealth is the ability to fully experience life. It's not necessarily a dollar amount or what is in our TRS account. It is, you are wealthy if you get to fully experience the things that you love and that you want and that you crave. Another statement that she makes in the book that I liked a lot is that life is an invitation to consistent curiosity, healthy expectations, and generous amounts of grace. However, no is a complete sentence, and you don't always have to defend your no. And as a teacher, how often, when we are trying to create boundaries personally or professionally, do we struggle to say no and then word vomit why we needed to say no? Annie says no is a complete sentence and you don't have to defend your no. Ooh, not every invitation is meant to be accepted. Not every opportunity is meant to be explored. We don't owe anybody anything but love. Oh, wow. I loved that so much. Okay. So this book is really just broken down into small snippets and examples of how we can have fun. And she says, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And I think that that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But the whole point of this episode is to break down things that meant a lot to me. And then give you just a little bit of context to determine if this is a book that you want to read. So kind of going back to that no means no sort of thing, I also like what she said with regards to this statement. It's generous to yourself to draw good boundaries that protect and prioritize fun. Success is not the key to happiness. Happiness is the key to success. If you love what you are doing, you will be successful. And I actually want to put another asterisk on that. I think this episode is actually full of asterisks, and I'm totally okay with it. I want to say that again. Success is not the key to happiness. Happiness is the key to success. I sort of agree. If you love what you are doing, you will be successful. I actually want to challenge that because I'm not sure if that's true for everything, especially from the lens of being teachers. Like, I love what I do. I think most teachers love what they do with an asterisk to a certain extent. But just because we love it doesn't mean that we're successful, because I think there are a lot of external variables that are causing us to not feel successful, therefore not love what we do. And so I think that's really interesting. But here's what I will end with on the topic of this book. I think that if you are needing a little bit more joy and a little bit more fun in your life, it does have some interesting stories, some interesting details, some interesting perspectives. Okay? The final book that I want to talk about, and these books are starting to surprise me, and I'm saying these books because it's actually part of a series. Probably my most favorite book that I read this year is actually from the Harvard Business Review Press. And wow, does that sound fancy and intense, but it's actually an emotional intelligence book, and it's The Emotional Intelligence of Happiness. I read this in May, and I really, really enjoyed it. One of these Harvard Business Review Press books made the list last year as well, and I'm definitely reading another one in this upcoming year. But I loved this statement. I want to share this with you, and hear the whole sentence, because this is complicated. Happiness isn't the absence of negative feelings. Happiness is taking the good with the bad and learning to reframe the bad. Whoa. And it goes on to explain that there are actually 5 elements to lasting happiness. Positive emotions like gratitude and satisfaction, inspiration and love. Engagement, the fact that time just disappears because we are so lost in the moment. Relationships, meaning that we are making meaningful, positive connections. Meaning, serving a cause that is bigger than ourselves. And accomplishments, essentially bettering ourselves. Those are the 5 elements to lasting happiness. And I loved that, because when we pair that with this concept of happiness isn't the absence of negative feelings, it's taking the good with the bad and learning to reframe, that is really, really cool. It goes on to explain in this Harvard Business Press review, it's a bunch of little articles that they have accumulated over time, and they put them into one bound book. But it says how we feel is directly linked to how we think. And to be fully engaged and happy, we need these 3 things: a meaningful vision of the future, a sense of purpose, and great relationships. So I will ask you right now, do you have a meaningful vision of what this upcoming year looks like? Do you have a sense of purpose and passion for that purpose in your life right now? And do you have great relationships that are going to support you in that journey? Those are 3 key indicators of happiness. And so it talks a little bit about a 3-month theory when it comes to happiness. And I found this very fascinating. I really dug into the research on this, but it said that things in life rarely impact us longer than 3 months. General happiness about a very specific thing fades after 3 months. General sadness about a specific thing fades after about 3 months. And so we can truly determine if we are happy or truly determine if we are sad, that after 3 months, if the thing that caused us to feel that emotion is no longer giving us that emotion, then were we really happy? Whoa, that's intense. That is something that I've kind of tucked into the back of my mind. In this book, it also talks about the frequency of your positive experiences is a much better indicator of happiness than the intensity of the positive experience. And I think that is directly connected to that 3-month thing. Science, math, life just says if we have frequency of positive experiences more often, it just keeps moving those 3-month needles, doesn't it? Oof, I love it. It also says one of the greatest predictors of happiness at work is making progress in meaningful work. And that obviously is a professional component to happiness. Like, if you're happy at work, are you making progress with student data, with building relationships, with getting kids to achieve a certain skill? I want to end actually on this. When happiness becomes a duty, it can make people feel worse if they fail to accomplish it. Whoa. So essentially, if you are just making happiness a checklist item, like you're going through the motions and almost faking happiness, if it becomes a duty, it can make people feel worse if they fail to accomplish it, because essentially then it's not genuine, it's not authentic, it's not real. These little emotional happiness books or emotional intelligence books, this one specifically about happiness, is awesome. And I said at the beginning that the Let Them Theory book was about positive psychology, but it didn't feel like there was enough research. It didn't feel for me, like there was enough backing on it. The Harvard Business Review Press books do have a lot more. So I don't know. Think about picking up one of those if that sounds of interest to you. But those are my three books that I wanted to talk about during this episode. To be very honest with you, the other 9 books that I read this year were like swings and misses. I read 12 books this year, and the other 9, I didn't really have much to say. Truly, that's tough. I am hoping the list of books that I am going to read this year strike me differently, that the reading rut that I was in this calendar year fades. Speaking of this calendar year, I said at the beginning of the episode that a lot of us set big goals, especially this time of the year. Feels like a good time to set goals. We get motivated, fresh start, fresh perspective, fresh calendar kind of thing. And so we feel motivated. And here's what I will say. If none of the books that I just mentioned really struck a chord with you, then I will throw out a book that I will be honest, I did happen to write, but it wasn't on purpose. It is called 365 Days of Awesome. It is literally one page a day for this entire upcoming calendar year. And Pat Flynn, the author of Lean Learning, said that 88% of people don't actually accomplish the big goals that they set forth. And I don't want that to be you, okay? I also want to pair that statistic with one of the quotes from emotional intelligence on happiness, as the frequency of your positive experiences is a much better indicator of happiness than the intensity of the positive experience. In other words, we need to stop living in the super high highs and feel really, really good about the good moments, the small daily good moments, because it's the frequency at which those small good moments happen that give us the momentum to actually want to feel happy, to want to be good personally and professionally, to accomplish the goals that we have set forth for this year. And 365 Days of Awesome, the book that I wrote that I am suggesting you incorporate into this year for yourself, is one page a day for the whole year that you can read in less than 1 minute. That is truly something small but significant that can shift your mindset, that can shift your momentum, that can shift your heart, that can shift your head. One page a day for the entire year to give you that moment of, oh yes, that's what I needed today, in a small but substantial way. You can actually find that at monicagenta.com/books. That is available on my website along with all of the other books that I have written. But I will tell you, that book is not about teaching. That book is not. I have other books about teaching on that same page, monicagenta.com/books. But if you're looking for something not about teaching and that you just want to have a better year, especially as we are in this time and space right now, you can check it out. It's 365 Days of Awesome at monicagenta.com/books. Whether you love reading or you hate reading, whether this year you had some really, really good moments inside of books, or you didn't pick up a single book because you're like, I hate reading. I hope that this episode has inspired you to kind of take a step in whichever way is going to be best for you. I'm excited about where this year is going to bring me on my personal and professional journey, and I'm excited to continue to share that with you. Reminder, these episodes hit every single Sunday night, so you are ready to get your Monday, your new week, off to an incredible start. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode, but most importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.